The next one, I think, is the craziest lie of them all. One that I do think ruffled some viewers' feathers.
I won't be accepted in the industry because of what I did when I was like 19.
But I think this is where people kind of go too far. Who would want to be ganged up on and canceled over something that they didn't even lie about, right? It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty centers one flaw at a time. Thank you so much for joining me in today's episode. We have a solo episode today. If you are new to the Loud Talk show, we do solo episodes every other week and then guest episodes every week after that. So I like to switch it up. You know, I like to call these individual sessions kind of like my therapy or just things I want to get loud about that not enough people talk about, especially when it comes to confidence, beauty standards, living as a woman in her 20s. And every other week, I like to have a guest on that, you know, really talks about their experience with confidence or their knowledge in whether it's an insecurity they struggle with or business. Honestly, I've kept this podcast pretty open and I feel like I'm broadening it up even more just because I want it to be a space where we can come to feel safe and talk about things that we want to get loud about and we want to make a movement with. So with that being said, today we're going to be talking about how recently a bunch of influencers have exposed their own lies and some of the people that I've compiled here. And, you know, it's not even like I am trying to come after certain people for exposing their lies. This episode is really to put together everything that I've seen to bring light to the fact that social media is fake. Social media is not reliable in terms of getting this image on someone's life, because at the end of the day, it's so easy to present a 15, you know, second video, a minute video, and curate it in such a way that your audience sees it. So to put a little bit of context, when the TikTok ban was initiated on January 15th. The couple days before, there was this trending audio. I think it was from Family Guy that it originally came from, but it was like, since we're all gonna die, I have one more secret to share with you. And then a lot of influencers thought, you know, let me kind of expose some of my secrets. And it started off really funny, in my opinion, just sharing things that, you know, you might have never known. Like, for example, I jumped on the bandwagon and I said that, you know, if I'm gonna share one last secret, it's actually that I don't prefer TikTok as a platform, even though I love it and it's my main platform now. And that actually I'm a YouTuber at heart and I will always prefer YouTube. Or I did one like, you know, that this is not how my makeup looks in real life because the lighting changes, and I showed that, which is something I do pretty regularly. But there were lots of funny ones that people were doing, and it became this whole like community and brought people together and kind of, you know, was a way to bring humor and bring some light to the TikTok potentially being banned, which obviously would affect a lot of people. And I don't want to get too much into that in this episode just because, you know, obviously I'm a content creator, so that would have affected me greatly. And I know people have like differing opinions there, but I think, you know, it was a tough week for a lot of people trying to think, okay, where do we go from now? What app do we go to? What am I going to do now? Because a lot of people relied on TikTok not only for their income, but, you know, for their career as a whole or their small business or whatever it is. So this trend became like a very fun thing for people to just bring some light and humor to the fact that TikTok might be going away. But then a lot of, you know, really big creators kind of exposed some big secrets that caused a lot of, I would say, distrust with their audience, especially when it came to things that they were like literally known for. It wasn't just like, oh, one last secret. I can't even think of one like off the top of my head, like something silly. It was like, you are literally known for this in your content, and now all these viewers of these big influencers kind of felt robbed because it's like, oh, well, I was following you literally for this exact thing, and now you're coming on here to say that this was actually never something that was true about your personality or true about your content. And it definitely feels as if, like, let's say you were best friends with someone and all of a sudden they told you this huge lie, or, you know, the truth to this big lie that basically the foundation of your friendship was built off. it would create a lot of mistrust. And I get it because, you know, people follow certain people to that they trust. And especially with creators, there is that stigma that, you know, influencers always lie or blah, blah, blah. But then you find those creators that you're like, no, you're a real one. And I'm going to follow you because I trust you. So I get it. But as a content creator myself, I honestly wasn't shocked about a lot of these. Some of these I was like, whoa, I can't believe you said that. And I can't believe you did that. But some of these I wasn't shocked about. And I think as a creator, I have a little bit of a different perspective because I make content myself. So I always tell people, and I'm a lot of my content is driven off the fact to expose social media in a way and just bring light to the fact that you cannot compare a piece on social media to your dynamic real life. You know, I always say, like, with comparing your body, you cannot compare a snapshot image or a 5-second clip of someone at the gym to your 1-hour session and how your body changes and moves throughout that session. You cannot compare your makeup or how your skin looks, you know, the second you wake up or when you go like into terrible overhead lighting compared to someone's beautiful Instagram picture where they have a ring light or perfect lighting in front of them. You know, even I'm looking at my life right now, like I'm sitting here recording this podcast. I actually move back to Europe tomorrow. So looking around me, there are suitcases, there are boxes, everything is a mess. But you know, I cleared up like most of my filming area to film this because again, I'm creating content and I'm creating entertainment at the end of the day. As much as I try to be super real and authentic on social media, I'm still creating pieces of content and there's no part of me that's like lying about that. But the same way, you know, you would present to a job interview, like you're not faking anything, you're just presenting your best self. And sometimes there's a fine line with that. And although there has been instances where influencers have straight up lied or deceived their audience, there are cases where people will compare themselves to someone when, you know, you can't compare your everyday real life to a curated, cut down piece of content. We see this all the time. Lately, I've been watching a lot of like day in my life videos. And, you know, as a creator, I always think like the person had to put up their camera to record that, put up their camera to record this, and all the clips that are cut out of that. You know, you're not seeing like the every second part of their day, but when it's put together in this beautiful piece of content, it really looks like, oh, you know, their day was just so seamless and everything went by so smooth. And that's because like that's how the content was edited. I even filmed a piece of content the other day. It was a makeup tutorial, and basically I wanted the makeup tutorial to look like my whole makeup routine was jamming to one song, and I think it was Luther by Kendrick Lamar. But mind you, it took me about like 20 to 30 minutes to my whole makeup routine. But this whole TikTok that I recorded was a minute and a half. So basically what I did is for every lyric of the song, like I did a different step of my makeup routine and then put it all together and just made it look like I was like having a fun time doing my makeup to one song. But in reality, I was sitting there playing the song over and over and over for the 30 minutes that I was filming. So I didn't fake my makeup routine. I'm applying all those products. I did listen to that song. But at the end of the day, I was creating that piece of entertainment. So I do see content with a different eye, like every day when I'm scrolling. And recently I discovered this about myself. I don't think I have the ability to like leisure scroll on social media as most people would, like recreationally or just like, you know, unwind and decompress at the end of their day, because I just see everything from the eyes of a content creator and it gets like my brain working. But you know, content is curated, things are edited out, and you cannot compare your dynamic real life to an edited, curated piece of content online. And I hope that with this episode that we're going to go through some of these, you know, the biggest influencer lies that came out of this trend, it opens your eyes a little bit to look at social media content with a bit of a grain of salt. Everything you watch online, just try to imagine that you were filming that video yourself. And I know it's hard because like most people watching content are not necessarily making content themselves, especially like on a daily basis. So it's hard to sometimes think like, oh, you know, what did it take to make this video? But try to have that perspective. Or if you feel yourself comparing yourself to someone, just remember, like, they're putting their best foot forward. And what I always say is go to your own social media pages and try to look at your social media from the eyes of someone else. And you will see that people are probably comparing themselves to you too, because you probably don't have like embarrassing photos on your social media, or like you're not posting a day in your life when you are at home sick. You're going to post like the photos of when you went out with your friends or did something really cool or did something cool in your career. Like that's what you're posting. So just remember that people put their best foot forward. And although, you know, there are people who try to like expose that, like for me, I always try to post very authentically online. I still can't post every single second of my day. Like everything is still edited down and curated to an extent, even though I would consider myself one of the more like real creators, if that makes sense. But anyways, I do want to get into some of these videos because it's crazy, guys. It is really crazy. So I actually made a whole list of a bunch of the creators I found. And if you are not watching this episode on YouTube, I would highly recommend you do because I'm going to be playing each video. But if you're not, I'll basically like go through them all. So the first one I want to talk about is Brooke Schofield. I don't think hers was like anything crazy that she exposed herself over. But the reason I want to point this out is because I always see people commenting on creators' videos that have like really smooth, clear skin that are obviously wearing a filter, not just because it looks like a filter, but because it's directly, you know, on the screen of the video, it discloses the filter being used. And I always see comments on these type of videos of people being like, what's your skincare routine? Please give me your skincare routine. I need to have skin like yours, blah, blah, blah. And I would really advise you in these moments, anytime you see a creator wearing a filter that you are instantly comparing yourself to, click on that filter and see how your face looks with that filter on, because you'll be like, oh, I look completely different. So it'll kind of put things into perspective of how maybe that person looks in real life, which I'm sure they're still beautiful and gorgeous, but sometimes we compare ourselves to that filtered version and we see ourselves without the filter in the mirror. And that's what causes like that, you know, toxic mindset when it comes to comparison. So this is basically the audio, first of all, to the trend.
Since we're all gonna die, there's one more secret I feel I have to share with you. I did not care for The Godfather. Since we're all
okay, so first off, we have Brooke Schofield, and basically her confession reads, "You wouldn't want my skincare routine if it weren't for the light foundation filter." Now, anytime I've clicked on the light foundation filter, guys, I look like a completely different person. I'm gonna actually take a video right now so that we can compare to what you guys are seeing on camera, which, mind you, I'm in front of a very bright ring light, so that changes things up. But I love that she talked about this because I think it brings awareness to that. And this was one of the videos that came out of this trend that I was like applauding for, because I'm like, thank you for bringing awareness to that. She has such a big audience. And I think, you know, it's fine if she wants to use the filter. Like, you know, I have my own opinion on like creators using filters. But honestly, she doesn't do like any makeup or skincare content, so I don't really care. Like, she just mostly does like commentary and talking videos and more like about her daily life. So if she wants to wear a filter that day, like, whatever. I have an issue when creators who review makeup and skincare are wearing a filter during their reviews. I think that's pretty inauthentic and just kind of can, you know, mislead your audience into how products look. And also, like, how are you supposed to tell what a makeup product looks like when there's a filter that masks the whole face over it? I've never understood that. But kudos to Brooke for bringing this up, because I think, you know, it is really important. And reading some of the comments here, people said, met you in person, that's a lie, you're perfect literally in every way. And this just goes to show, like, sometimes, you know, she might feel insecure about her skin one day, so she puts on this filter, but most people just don't see that. You know, people look at her and think, girl, your skin is still perfect. But it's so funny too, most people are like, okay, we don't care about that, can you just show me your hair routine? She does have really, really nice hair. Okay, next one was one that I do think ruffled some viewers' feathers. This one came from Meredith Duxbury, and she said, I did wipe some of the 10 pumps off, which, if you don't know who Meredith Duxbury is, she is a beauty creator who basically blew up for her foundation technique, which was putting like 10 pumps of foundation on her face and then rubbing it in with her hands. This became very known as the Meredith Duxbury foundation method, and people would always be like, there's no way she actually uses that much foundation, there's no way. You know, people suspected that it was, you know, for the views, because it attracts your eye. It brings you in when you see someone applying that much product, because you're intrigued. You're like, I want to see how it turns out, right? It creates that engagement. And I had even tried out the method, and she would always just say like, no, I only do this because I love a full coverage. I love a full coverage beat, and this is honestly how I do my foundation. I like to use this much product, and I like to use my hands. I did try her method out. It is very, very full coverage. I think when I tried it, people were like, you need more product, she uses more product. And I was like, girl, how many more pumps could I put on my face to blend out? And I think blending out foundation with your hands actually works really well. But I think Meredith is really smart, and I think she knew that this brings in a lot of engagement on her videos. And for her to say or change up the method, instead she branded this method as her own. And once someone is attached to something that they're known for like that, like when you see someone applying that much foundation with their hands, you know it's her instantly, regardless of the makeup tutorial she's doing. So I think this was very, very smart of her. She knew what she was doing. She was really, really hardworking on TikTok and still is. But at the time, like when she was really blowing up, she was posting consistently 6 videos a day, and she stayed true to that. And whenever people would ask her, is this how you actually do your foundation, or is it just for the videos? She's like, when I do my makeup, I like a really full beat, so this is how I do my foundation. So I think her sticking to that was smart. I'm very shocked that she came out and said that she would wipe off some of the 10 pumps. But honestly, to be honest with you guys, I was not surprised at all when I saw this video, because I knew, like, I for sure knew when she was doing her makeup. Like, there is that, people always talk about there's like the TikTok way of applying makeup, and there's like the makeup artist way of applying makeup. And this is one of those things that is just like, I felt like, you know, it really draws your eye in. And again, it's entertaining to see someone put that much product on their face and then get this finished look. So people were hurt by this, and like looking through some of the comments, but then some people were like, I needed this closure. So I think a lot of her audience kind of knew she would add on more pumps and then take some off. But you know, we have creators saying it here, even like Ask Ellen Beauty, which I love her. She said, okay, but the strategy eight, like we knew, you know, but there were some people who said, like, there's no freaking way, like, all my trust is gone. To which she replied to some of these comments, said, I'm joking, which is kind of funny. And then I think, yeah, someone said, imagine TikTok gets banned and no one trusts you. And she said, haha, it's a joke. And her caption said, or did I? So I think the way she even did this was like, hey, yeah, I did wipe some of the 10 pumps of foundation off. But even with that, I'm not going to tell you if that's a lie or if it's the truth. So I don't know. Either way, she doesn't really do her makeup like she used to too much anymore. Like, she is more into that natural glam. I mean, she's doing like modeling, all of that. Like, she is doing great things, and I think, you know, this was a great strategy for her to use this technique. I'm curious if she will ever come out to say like fully that she did, but that was one that I was not surprised on. Again, you just have to watch these videos and think of it from like a realistic point of view. If it's like, okay, yes, this is really entertaining to watch, that's fine. Or are you really trying to replicate her method every day? And then you're like, why isn't this working for me? Maybe think, well, is she really doing this every single day for her makeup to wear that much pumps foundation or not? So that was a big one. The next one shocked me, and we'll steer away from beauty for a bit. This came from Griffin Johnson, and if you have not been on TikTok since the start of it, you guys know all these people, all the content houses, was just like really big back then. And Griffin Johnson said, Little Huddy did not lie on July 6th. And again, I think this one I wasn't shocked by. So to fill you in on the backstory, basically, a lot of I'm not gonna go too much into details because honestly, I don't feel like I even know them that well. But basically, a lot of drama went down between all the people in those content creation houses, and kind of everyone ganged up on Lil Huddy and said that he was lying about, I think it was like someone he kissed that day or something. And people were like ripping him apart on Twitter. Everyone kind of came out, said like Lil Huddy lied, he's lying, and it all blew up and people were canceling him. And I am very like anti-cancel culture because I think things get grabbed and people just run with it, and it's like this whole wave where the whole internet will turn on you and tear someone down, and then months later, like, people just forget about it. It's really weird. Like, I think I agree with holding people accountable if there's something to hold them accountable for, but people jump on a bandwagon way too quickly when it comes to canceling someone. They won't even, you know, hear like another side of the story. It's just like taken and run with. And I think in this case, when now Griffin Johnson came out and said Little Huddy wasn't lying, I'm sure they've kind of like worked everything out, but now people are like, oh shoot, like this is crazy. You know, we literally, someone even said here in the comments, the way everyone attacked Huddy too, though, y'all were so mean to him back then. Crazy how you all ganged up on him. Like, this just goes to show that you cannot just like take someone's word and like run with it, especially on like a mass scale like that on social media. And I feel bad for the guy, like for what he went through. Obviously, people will say, yeah, well, you're in the public, like be prepared for that. But like, who would want to be ganged up on and canceled over something that they didn't even lie about, right? And I know even Sienna Mae came out recently saying her truth, and then people fully turned and now are supporting her when they literally dragged her through the mud a few years ago. So that's kind of just my little two cents on like cancel culture and my thoughts on it, because I don't think it's that nice. Okay, this creator, Neha, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. She said, I actually never slept in any of my overnight hair hacks. So I guess her content is really known for her hair hacks. She does like a lot of heatless hairstyling methods. So heatless curls, heatless straightening, a lot of hair videos. And she said that she never actually slept in any of her overnight hair hacks, that she just did it within the same hour and then just changed outfits. And she's showing herself doing a straightening hair hack with elastics, and then she's blow drying it. Therefore, she's applying heat and not actually sleeping in it. And people are like, I feel betrayed. I genuinely believed all your hair hacks, which to which she responded, I didn't say they didn't work. I just took a shortcut. And I guess in this case, because she's probably filming so many of these, she's not sleeping in them, which I find really, really crazy because that's the whole point. Like, I mean, she's saying she took a shortcut by applying heat, but then it's not a heatless hair hack, right? But I'm curious, like, does she have, well, she said she just changed. So we actually have no idea, because if she shows, oh, this is the next day, we actually have no idea if it was the next day or not, which is really crazy. Like the actual video where she straightens her hair with these elastics. Does she post the results? Yeah, she does. She posts the results, but yeah. Again, is it disappointing? Yeah, but am I shocked? No. The only thing, I am disappointed in the fact that, like, if this is real, that she was not sleeping in these, is that people are probably trying a bunch of these methods out and then wondering why it's not working for them at home. And this is in all aspects of beauty, because I get so many comments from people being like, oh, please try this makeup hack for us because, like, I tried it, it's not working for me. And then I tried it and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't work for anyone because the way it was perceived online is differently than how it's gonna work in real life, which is really unfortunate. Next up, we have Carter Kench. I'm hope I'm pronouncing his name right. So he's known for finding like really rare squishmallows, and to which he admitted, I did not find the squishmallows in store, which is crazy. And people felt really betrayed by this because the whole, you know, I understand like maybe it was a way for him to garner more virality, because if he's saying he found this super rare squishmallow in stores, people are gonna watch him and be like, oh my gosh, like how'd you find that in stores? And it is disappointing if it's like, no, I actually just bought them all. Next up, we have Emily Zuge, which she was really known for creating all the logos for all the companies back then. And hers did not surprise me at all. She said that she made all the logos ugly on purpose, which, duh. I mean, I think we all kind of knew that, and it was hilarious. I think that's why we loved it. And she kept always such like a serious expression every time she was showing these logos and being like, I like am, you know, being really serious about this. And I think this whole video of her jumping on this trend was also to feed into like, I'm being funny about this because I'm exposing to you guys that I made them ugly on purpose, but we all knew that they were like ugly on purpose. But she was really smart with it because this is a great way for her to actually like promote herself as a designer by leaning into the joke. And then I'm sure she has great work behind that, but it brought people to know her name and stuff like that. Now, this one spoke to the beauty creator in me. So this creator, it is Amy K. She's a beauty creator, and she said that she was in fact not in a rush ever to get ready with me, that she was acting and she was always on time, never late. And this, people in the comments were like, some people said my whole life is a lie, while others said I thought it was obvious. No way people thought you were always late. I think, you know, again, when TikTok really started blowing up and then people saw that these get ready with me's, especially get ready with me's where it'd be like, I have to leave the house in 5 minutes, get ready with me, it was entertaining because it was like, oh my gosh, you're kind of sitting on the edge of your seat. Like, is this person gonna make it to their event in time? You're kind of along there for the journey, and seeing them apply their makeup all chaotic, like, it's entertaining instead of them. Like, it's not as entertaining for someone to come on and be like, okay, guys, I have 3 hours to get ready, so let's take our sweet time. It's way more entertaining if someone's like, I have to leave my house in the next 5 minutes, let's see what I can put together. But I think this is where people kind of go too far when it's like, I'm sure that happened organically with someone at first. Because even for myself, the amount of times I have to get ready so quickly and I'll film a video because I don't know, I film every time I get ready, so I might as well. But I think for some people, it became, oh, this actually does really well online. Let me get ready rushed, even if I am not rushed, because it will do better. Which, yeah, again, it's disappointing to like feel betrayed in that, to be like, oh, well, you were just kind of lying or playing it up for the video. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one, because it's like, at the end of the day, if you like their content and it's entertaining, sure. I feel like I'd be more pressed if they were like lying about a product or a part of their routine or how something actually looked. But it also, you know, if you're trying to replicate the same makeup look in 10 minutes or whatever, and then you're like, wait, how did they do this? And in real life, it actually like took them an hour because they were not rushed. Maybe that does create some mistrust there. I could definitely see that. It's funny, right after this whole trend, I had only 15 minutes to get ready for somewhere. And I said, okay, since influencers are lying about this, let's just go ahead and you know, do a rush get ready with me in 15 minutes, which I do all the time. And guys, when I do that, I'm legit really, really rushed. But yeah, oh my God, there's another comment here. It says, I feel like I got cheated on. I don't know how to explain this. And then Amy said, haha, I put a JK at the end. But I feel, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about these influencers saying these, like exposing themselves and then saying like just kidding, because then it's like, are you kidding or are you not? You know what I mean? Like I feel sometimes, I don't know any of these creators personally, so I have no idea. They could be kidding. I really don't know. I'm just having a discussion and using these videos to educate on social media and bring awareness to, like, the same way we want to be smart consumers when buying products. I want you to become a smart consumer of consuming content. That's what this video is for. But I feel like the creators throwing a just kidding at the end or in the caption or in the comments is just kind of a way for them to like save their ass. That's how I'm viewing it. If like, it's like, here's my secret, but like, just kidding, just in case people perceive it badly. I don't know. Who knows what that's actually about. Now, the next one I think is the craziest lie of them all. So in all this time when influencers were exposing their lies in the last few days on TikTok, a creator by the name Sky Sutton, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, came out and admitted that she had had a BBL. Now, keep in mind, she is a fitness creator who mostly does fitness content. And looking at her page, a lot of it is focused on her workouts, especially, you know, workouts for her glutes, glute-focused workouts, all of that, like come train with me videos, all of this. And she came on to say that she actually it did in fact have a BBL, and people felt so betrayed by this. Now, I know, I think I had seen someone stitch her video once. There's this guy on TikTok who stitches videos to basically figure out if someone has a BBL or not, and he can usually tell just based on how the muscle's distributed in the rest of the leg. Obviously, you know, genetics play a big role in how someone's glutes look too and stuff. I think she deleted the original video of when she exposed it, but then she did have a follow-up response, which I'll play right now.
I just want to come on here and have a chat with you all about some stuff, hopefully clear up any confusion. I get really awkward talking to a camera like this, so bear with me. I'm trying to just pretend I'm on FaceTime at the moment. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge like what a privilege I have having this platform and such a large audience. It's amazing and I'm so grateful for it, and it gives me so many great opportunities. However, it also means that my life is made quite public, and therefore it is open for criticism, which can be difficult to navigate sometimes. But that's why I'm here. I'm trying to, I guess, handle things better and also like, yeah, grow and learn as a person and I don't know, just be better for you guys. So I've talked about this situation a fair bit. I go into extensive detail on my YouTube video. And also up until recently, I thought the YouTube video and the post were enough. So a bit of backstory, in my teenage years, I struggled heavily with self-confidence and body image. I was very uncomfortable in my own skin and very, very harsh critic on the way I looked. I compared myself to those that I saw online. And during COVID, I made a lot of money very, very quickly and decided to make a very impulsive and uneducated decision to get a BBL. And I've hesitated to use the word BBL in some of my posts because I know when I hear the word BBL, I think like, you know, Kardashian, like really big transformations. And for me, that was not the case. I had fat removed from various parts of my body and placed on the outer glute, like hip dip region, to try and give myself more like rounder shape, slimmer waist, bigger hips kind of vibe, because that's what I thought was going to fix all the problems and make me happy. Evidently, it didn't work. So when the swelling went down 2 to 3 months after the surgery, I discovered that majority of the fat cells didn't survive, and the fat cells that did survive shrunk back to their normal size And because I'm naturally quite slim and skinny, there was really no noticeable difference. So I was absolutely devastated that I'd put myself through so much for really no results. I'm so, so proud of the decisions moving forward. So I had been to the gym a little bit leading up to the surgery. I trained pretty passively. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I really loved how it made me feel. So I was like, okay, like it's helped with my mental health before. Maybe I'll try that again, like on social media or something, who could point me in the right direction, say, hey, like, don't go down that path. That's not going to make you feel happy. This is the right path to go down. These are the right steps to take. This is how you reach your goals in the right way. Then maybe things would have been different and I would have made better choices back then. In the last couple of years of my training and what has helped me see so much progress, I also never used photos prior to the surgery. I only use sort of like comparison photos from afterwards. And yeah, I share this content because for me, it makes me happy.
So basically she explained how she kind of did the surgery based on, you know, an insecurity. And I think she kind of talked about the hip dips there. And I think that's a big insecurity a lot of women have. I know for me, even sometimes I'm like, oh, I have these hip dips. And it's like, it's so natural to have. But then because we're put on the standard on social media that, you know, we're not supposed to have them and we are supposed to have that curvy shape, that's where it stems from. So I'm happy she talked about it and kind of dove into it. But I also understand why people kind of felt that betrayal. You know, even if she had it a while ago and it didn't work out in the way that she was hoping it would, I think her talking about it more and even talking about how that led her to go to the gym more. I'm not saying that, you know, none of her gym progress worked. I also don't know her content very well. I'm just speaking on this from, like, again, a comparison perspective. But I think knowing that it had like that compounding effect of like maybe the BBL plus the workouts, like if, for example, it would kind of be as if, you know, I struggle with my skin and acne and I'm going on like a natural healing journey, but it would be as if I told you guys that I was on a natural healing journey and in the meanwhile I was taking Accutane. Whereas instead, it's totally fine if I were to do that, but instead be like, hey, I'm taking Accutane, but I'm also working, you know, with these skincare products or on this new diet plan or whatever it is. So it's hard though, especially with short form content, I think, because a lot of people don't know your full account. Sometimes people even come to me and they're like on my videos and they're like, well, I thought you said you did this, or I thought you said that you did this. And even though I'm very open online about my journey with my skin and everything, people don't watch every single video I post. So sometimes they miss certain information and that can cause, you know, a certain audience member to watch my video with a certain perspective if they missed another. So yeah, it's a tough situation. And, you know, I feel bad for, you know, maybe some of the slander she's getting now, especially after coming out with something like that. And people, again, take something and run with it. So even though she mentioned now that she had a BBL that in that standard was like unsuccessful by the aesthetics portion of things, people will take that very first post and kind of run with it, because it's that saying, you know, if misinformation is put out there, 10 million people see it, and then someone comes back out to clarify that misinformation, 2 million people see it, 8 million people are still going to go ahead and have that, you know, initial thought in mind and not see that clarification come up. So yeah, it's tough though when you're watching, you know, these fitness influencers and, you know, you go back and
I'm so scared that I won't there.
This is a follow up video from Sky on what she talked about.
I'm so scared that I won't be accepted in the industry because of what I did when I was like 19.
There is a fitness influencer we just found out has a BBL and was promoting these amazing butt workouts.
It was so impulsive. What makes me so like upset with it is like it was just genuinely thought I was gonna wake up looking like Kylie Jenner, like that it would just be poof and all my problems would be solved with this, which snowballed into a very, very nasty place. Felt very disconnected to my body. Super invasive surgery at such a young age, such an expensive surgery. Gone through all of that to hate it. Prefer how I look beforehand.
But how did you go through that journey of like actually finding self-love again?
If I was to erase all the mistakes I made, I would erase myself. You know, like my biggest lessons in life are my biggest mistakes. The BBL being one of them has been so pivotal in creating who I am now. And I love who I am now. I'm so proud of who I am now.
And it's accepting the decision that the 19-year-old self made for what you thought was right at the time.
I'm more scared of getting old and looking back and being like, I let other people's opinions define my life.
I do feel bad for Sky though, because like it is tough to have that many people share an opinion, even if you are in the wrong or you made a mistake, you know, because that's the thing. Like, people are always like, well, these influencers put themselves out on the internet, so they should be ready to receive that. But it's like, imagine, you know, we all make mistakes in life, but imagine millions of people coming at you for a mistake you made in life. Like, that's a lot, regardless. And yeah, I feel bad for that. I think obviously it's a lesson of like disclosing certain things, especially if you are in a certain industry, but I'm not in that industry, so it's hard to speak on. But again, I just think watch content with a little bit of that grain of salt. We have another one here from Lexi Hidaglo. Her post was that she actually had two confessions in one. The first was that she never once drank the coffee that she made in her coffee talks. So basically, Lexi became kind of known for having these coffee talks where she talked about different things she was passionate about, and she'd always make coffee during the talks. And she said that she never once drank the coffee that she made. And someone said, wait, watching back on coffee talk videos makes this so funny. And she said, I drink it now, but I didn't used to, which maybe, you know, again, it kind of goes into that entertainment part of things. And you'll see creators, and I hope as I'm saying this stuff, you guys kind of start to recognize these patterns on social media. You'll see creators making stuff or doing something while they're talking to the camera, whether it's reapplying their makeup, whether it's making a coffee, whether it's making like a drink, whatever it is. And the reason is because our attention spans, you know, if someone is doing something else simultaneously on camera while they're talking to you, you're going to pay more attention to their video. Why do you think there's so many get ready with me videos while people are applying makeup? Every time I have a point to share online, I will most likely be sharing it while I'm doing my makeup and skincare, especially in short form content. So maybe, you know, she like was making these coffees, but if she was filming a lot of these in a day or whatever it was, maybe she wasn't drinking all of them. I don't know. I'm just assuming something. But I think that one didn't really press people that much. But the one that did was, she said, and I only did half the workouts I posted. I think this one did press people more, especially because with workouts, it does create a bit of that mistrust, because I see so many people look at someone where they like aspire to have their body type or a certain feature, and they always ask, what's your workout routine? What's your workout routine? What do you eat in a day? Those are like the two things. And then when it comes to skin, it's always like, what's your skincare routine? What products do you use? So I think when it comes to workouts, people kind of take that and think, okay, this is what this person is doing. I must copy this exact workout to get there. And that's just not how it works. Even if she was doing all the workouts, our bodies are all different. We all eat different things. We're in different, you know, environments. Everybody's different. So the same workout, the same meal plan will not translate perfectly from one person to another. And someone even commented, see, this is why I stop comparing yourself to others, because social media isn't real. And she said, the workouts were always great workouts and I always did them, just not on the days I filmed them. I'm also not a fitness guru. I posted workout content for a few months when I first started the app. So I do understand, you know, again, with creators, if she had certain days where she was batch filming her workout videos, she's gonna just film it and edit it to post. And maybe she would actually walk through those workouts another day. I know another creator came out and said that she always filmed her workouts separately in a different gym. And I get that. I think people were mad at that, but she always said she did the same workouts, just not in the same gym that she recorded them at. So she would go to record and just like mimic and do like a few of the repetitions for each move, which I understand, because like if she's there filming for an hour, that's going to take like a full hour rather than like also filming the full workout. But the thing that can make this misleading is, you know, like for example, when I work out, guys, I turn it into like the sweatiest, reddest tomato ever. So if I were to compare myself to someone doing a workout, I'm like, wow, they're not sweating at all. Their hair's perfect. Their makeup's perfect. You know, their outfit's staying perfect, or their posture, whatever. Like maybe that would cause some misleadment where it's like, oh, well, why don't I look like that? But it's different if you're just walking through the motions of the workout rather than doing it. So again, just have a different perspective when viewing this content and realize, hey, maybe like they're showing me this workout, but maybe they're not doing it in this moment, like full out, and they're just recording it, because at the end of the day, like they are recording it for you to see. Think of it like a personal trainer would record a little demo video for you to follow. It doesn't mean they're working, like they're walking through their full workout routine to show you, if that makes sense. There were also a few like food ones that came out. This is from a creator by the name Baby Dumpling, and she's known for doing mukbang or mukbang videos, however you say it. And she said, "I didn't eat all the food." I was always suspicious of this with these mukbang eaters. She did like a lot of these like, "Let's see how much food I can eat," blah blah blah. And I think it makes sense. I wasn't like shocked when I saw videos like this. People said like, "Oh my gosh, we already knew the way I didn't gasp, blink, flinch, flinch." I think we all knew that. Y'all clearly don't remember the unedited sushi mukbang. Yeah, I think people knew right here, but there were still people in the comments who said, "No way, I genuinely believed it." People said, "I trusted you. This feels like closure. Okay, this one hurt." So again, it does create distrust with the audience. I definitely believe that. I know there was one creator, I don't have her video saved here, but she mentioned she always made these like Tumblr videos where she would make all this ice with like fruit and stuff. And she always said she would make all these like pretty ice designs, but she'd never actually use the ice. So I'm assuming she just like make it all, let it melt. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's hard because it creates that mistrust with the audience. I just want you to take out of this video that we've kind of compiled a bunch of them to just be a smarter consumer when you're watching this content and watch it as entertainment. The same way you watch a TV show, you know it's edited, you know it's, you know, curated, and it's there's a plot. The same way you should start viewing content. And it's hard when TikTok is so like casual and it's supposed to be like so you know, unfiltered and unedited, but remember that things go into content that's produced, and you can watch someone and have that entertainment, but try your best to take out that comparison aspect and think, "Wait, why doesn't my everyday life look like their videos online?" And it might just be because that's an edited video online. It doesn't mean everyone is lying, every creator is fake, blah blah blah. But sometimes I think even as a creator, this put a lot of perspective for me, a lot of, you know, of my accomplishments into perspective. Because sometimes I would always think like, why aren't my videos gaining the same view as some others? And I think there are certain creators out there who do manipulate their audience in a way. And it made me kind of chuckle to think, okay, maybe I'm just not using those manipulation tactics, and that's why. But there are definitely, you know, editing methods I use to make my content engaging. And, you know, we know people have short attention spans. So, you know, if I'm swiping a product or trying something on, I'll usually like insert a little preview of that. Or I'll do get ready with me's and be applying products while I'm talking to hold someone's attention. Like, there are methods that, and there is a fine line there, you know, between curating your content for it to be entertaining and being as authentic as you can. But regardless of how authentic someone is on social media, they're still posting a fraction of their life. So just remember that. I really want you guys to take that out of this, and no hate to any of these creators. I really just wanted to use these videos as examples to bring light to how you should kind of view social media. And hopefully you learned a little bit from this episode. I didn't want it to be like drama. Oh my gosh, who look like look who leaked their secrets, because also when this is being posted, it's kind of old news on who revealed their secrets. I more just want to reflect on each one and be like, here is what you can maybe use to look out for. I know even for filters, like if you look at a video and you see the smile lines of someone kind of going in and out, they're usually wearing a filter. Or if you just can't see like any skin, you know, like if you look at your own skin in the mirror, it looks like skin. That's a good tell. Good lighting, guys. That's gonna create like no shadows on the face and stuff like that. Gym content, it's so easy. Like, look at yourself in the mirror, pose as much as you can, relax as much as you can, and think of the ways that you could present differently on social media, and realize that someone could compare themselves to you, and then take that perspective onto someone else's account. That is what helped me a lot. And at the end of the day, follow people that make you feel good about yourself, because comparison is literally the thief of joy. And I'm posting a full video on just comparison and it being the thief of joy and all of that next week. So stay tuned for that, which I'll go more in depth on comparison and kind of how to stop comparison and, you know, become more secure in yourself. So stay tuned for that episode next week. But that is it. This is one of the more longer individual episodes I've done, but I thought it was a really important topic. So I hope it was helpful for you guys. But I love you so, so much. Thank you so much for getting loud with me today. Let me know what you want to see next on Loud Talk with Lavi, what you want to talk about, what guests you want me to have on, all of that. But I love you all so much. Thank you for tuning in. If you're watching the video version, hi, remember to tell yourself something you love about your skin today. Check out the video version on the Loud Talk with Lavi YouTube channel. And then we post the audio every single Sunday at 7 a.m. MST on Spotify, Apple, or any streaming platform. But I love you guys. And you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye.